If you're visiting us online for the first time today, so glad that you're joining us. I hope you connect with us and go to the chat box and say something, say hi. We would like to greet you. For all of you that are here today, good to see each one of you. I really am glad to see you here today as we kick off this new year. We're stepping into a new season, a season that we still probably feel a little bit shaken, maybe a little bit stirred. That might describe us after this past year. Are you feeling shaken? Are you feeling a little stirred? Yeah, we are, aren't we? We've had to go into a form of survival mode as we were in the beginning last year, and we had to figure out how to do what we do, how to live how we live, all while everything is shaking around us. It's not a good feeling. And then we've had to pivot to this kind of on-the-ground reality of changes and as they change and change again, and we've discovered how it means to be agile, how to move with the changes, to figure it out on the go, all the while everything continues to be stirred. So somewhere ahead, we're looking for some new normal, right? But we're pretty sure that a new normal is not going to be the normal that we have been used to or that we maybe are hoping for. In the midst of surviving and pivoting and wondering what the future holds, you might feel a little uncentered. You might feel today, as we begin the new year, a little out of balance. Do you feel it? You know, if you do, you're not alone. I think in some way, some form, we're all feeling that way. Many of us feel like maybe even something is missing as we're moving forward, like something very foundational has shifted and changed. Something that used to be so real, so tangible, something we could just take hold of, but now maybe it seems a little bit more elusive, like it's even absent. Maybe you can't quite put your finger on it. It's just this feeling of being unsettled. Not unlike a talented young Midwest photographer who was hired to capture the fires in Yellowstone some years ago. Wade Martin Hughes Jr., he shares this story. During those fires in Yellowstone, this young photographer was hired to capture the crisis on film. He was there to document this disaster for the cover of a famous magazine, and he was put on assignment to find these heroic measures of the thousands of firefighters who were risking their lives. So when the photographer arrived, he ran into a problem in Yellowstone. The smoke and the dark, thick smoke was so powerful that it made it impossible to catch the pictures on the ground. So he called his magazine office, and he was seeking permission to get a charter plane so he could go up above and take pictures from the air. So the magazine made arrangements at a local airport. And he got this return call that there was a small plane waiting on the runway, ready to go. So he hopped into his rental car, took off, and arrived at the airport. And there was a very young man sitting in this small single-engine aircraft. But as instructed, the plane was running, ready for takeoff. And so the photographer threw his gear into the back of the plane. He hopped in the seat and said, "Let's go." So the young man proceeded down the runway with the plane shaking and swerving. And when he got into the air, the pilot asked, how was that? He seemed really nervous, and he guided the plane higher and higher into the winds of Yellowstone. And even though the photographer had never experienced quite a jerky flight like that before, he asked the pilot to fly over as low as possible, over the fires. And the pilot said, "Why?" He said, "Because I'm on assignment. I'm a photographer, and photographers need to be close to the action to take the photographs." And the pilot was very quiet for a long time. And then he broke the silence saying, "I thought you were the flight instructor." So whether we signed up for it or not, we've been sent out on a dangerous assignment this year. And you may be feeling like this young photographer about now, that you've hopped on a plane with a flight school trainee wondering, where's the real pilot, right? And it's left us feeling like, you know, something's missing. We're unsure, we're shaken, we're stirred. And if that's you today, as it likely is, you're not alone. We all feel it. We're all unsettled. And I want to assure you today that God is still the pilot in this mission. God hasn't gotten out of the pilot seat. In fact, we can be assured today we're not alone. But it may be that this crisis is reminding us of something very important, a need to refocus as we start this new year. So I'm beginning a new series for resetting our lives back to the basics. I'm calling this Being Who God Created You to Be. Right? Being Who God Created You to Be. So if you've been stirred and shaken off center this past year, then it is time for a reset. It's time to begin again. And if you stay with me today, you're going to find out how to begin, how to put into practice the single most important step in becoming or recentering on being who God made you to be. So as we begin, we're joining the writer of Psalm 42 as he struggles with his circumstances. The praise team read it for us earlier. He has one major question that keeps coming up. It keeps being asked. Where is God in all of this? Where's God in all of this? He writes, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God." He's talking about this deep longing for God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" You know, the title at the beginning of this psalm says that it's for the sons of Korah. We're not really sure who that is, but it relates to all of us. Some think this psalm is maybe written about David when his son Absalom was trying to overthrow him and David was sent into exile. You know, here's what we do know. This guy is in exile. He's sent away from Jerusalem. He's sent away from the temple. He's away from that experience of God that he knew so well and that experience of God's presence with him. And being away and without sensing God, he's shaken and he's stirred and he's wondering, where is God in this mess? Now that's what a Jesus follower should ask. If you follow me for a moment here, I think a Jesus follower should be asking, where's God when we sense that God's presence and God's guidance has been withdrawn or we're not experiencing it? We should ask, why not? Why aren't we experiencing that presence of God? You know, if you're not a Jesus follower today, I still want to challenge you to consider the question, where is God in this mess? Because for all of us, if you're feeling unsettled, here's my question. Why? Why are we feeling that way? You know, the easy answer is, duh, Tim, the crisis, right? There's a great reason for feeling that way. Well, that's true, but what's the deeper sense? What's going on, you know, right in the heart? What's wrong? Because Jesus says in the Bible, and we trust this, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." So if we're feeling like God's withdrawn, then what's going on? How can that be? Why do we get shaken and stirred and unsettled like this psalmist? Well, the writing of many scholars, they believe that this faithful worshiper of Psalm 42 has been taken from Jerusalem. He's far away in exile, maybe in Babylon. There he remembers, he remembers the joy. It's elusive now, but he remembers it. He once knew being that in the temple of God and that experience. And I think for some of us, you know, we get to this place sometimes where we're feeling like, it's just not the same as it used to be. I'm just not feeling that joy and hope and presence like I once did. It's that longing that the psalmist wants, that presence of God again, and he can't understand why God doesn't show up. He can't understand why God isn't bringing him back home. You may be asking the same question. God, why aren't you showing up in my life? Well, if you are, there's good news coming. But more likely, it's not that desperate. It might just feel like God's drifted a little bit, just out of reach. Maybe you haven't really noticed, but in everything that's going on as you consider this, might think to ourselves, yeah, I do seem like I'm a little less passionate in worship. You know, a little dry maybe in my spiritual walk. Maybe a little less patient and grace-filled with other people. Maybe there's a little sarcasm in my conversation. Maybe I just don't respond quite as quickly when I realize someone's in need. Or maybe I don't feel like I matter much anymore, like I'm really not making a difference in this season. Maybe we're noticing we're not quite as consistent in those practices that we used to do that used to give us joy and refresh and energize our soul. Are you relating to any of these? Maybe we sense, like the psalmist, a kind of spiritual isolation. You know, we've attributed it to the inability to be able to gather like we used to, but we suspect it's probably something a little deeper than that. Maybe we feel a little less hopeful. Maybe even a little bit of despair is setting in. What's that all about? Because we know deep in our heart that it's not God. It's not God who's abandoned us. That's not who God is. That's not how God works. So maybe it's us, right? Maybe it's me. Maybe we've moved just a little away from God somehow. Maybe it's just the things that have been going on that have just drawn us away. You know, there's plenty of that. Things are tough. Our enemy, the devil, he loves nothing more than for us to be just distracted enough so our focus is not Jesus anymore, but on something else, some other things, either good or bad. Doesn't matter. Maybe we've noticed this for a while and things aren't what they used to be. And now, today, we're asking, why? Why, my soul? Why are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? You know, I say all this to help us to recognize that I believe Jesus' followers are not immune to wrestling with this kind of feeling of the psalmist. You know, we can experience a spiritual fatigue. We might call it a spiritual low or maybe just feeling distance. I think often, though, it can be narrowed down to one dangerous trend. One dangerous trend. Something that Jesus called out in the Ephesian church in Revelations. He referred to it as a first love. He said, I know all the good things you're doing. I know, you know, your passion. But Jesus says, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love that you first had. You know, Jesus is talking about what the psalmist is referring to, this passion that was once there for God, for his mission. You know that fire when you first believed? Do you remember that? And in the worries of this life and the good things that are going on, we've somehow maybe lost sight of that passion a little bit, that fire that was once there. Do you remember when we go back and think about that first moment when we first believed? It might have been a little scary, but most likely there was a sense of awe and wonder. You felt the love of God just pour over you. It's like your eyes were opened and you were seeing the world for the first time. Like a new life had just been given to you and it was full of hope and joy and you just couldn't wait to experience more of it and more of God and even share that with other people. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, Pastor Tim, I don't really know what you're talking about because I've never really felt that way. My faith just isn't about feelings. Well, if that's true, then I would just want to invite you today. I want to invite you to ask God to pour into your heart his love in a fresh new way so that you can experience that joy of the Lord, that hope in God's promises that come through faith in Jesus and life in his name. That release of forgiveness and the joy of walking into God's presence. Because you are a beloved child of God. God loves nothing more than to pour his love into you, his passion into you, and see that return to him. That's a gift, really, from God. This is what faith brings to us. the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, he said, this is a gift of God. He says, you and I can't make this happen. God pours it into our lives. He said, it is by grace. You have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. This is a gift of God. So this passion, this love originates in, not in us. It comes from God. But this is what is going to make all the difference now going forward. This is what I really want you to hear today and take hold of. This is key to where we're going about being who God made us to be. And here it is. Even though God draws us to himself, we have the responsibility to follow. Even though God draws us to himself, we have the responsibility to follow. We are called by grace to be followers of Jesus. We make followers of Jesus. That's who we are. That's who we're made to be. And if you're not a believer yet today, then I invite you to take note right now. Because one day, I'm sure that these words will come back to you. And you will remember what Pastor Tim said, that in Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And you won't be settled, you won't be secure until you become who God made you to be, his child, by faith. That's why Jesus tells the church in Revelation, he says, turn back to me and do the works that you did at first. Turn back, come back. We are created to be fully devoted followers of Jesus. And when we're not being who God made us to be, then our souls are in this kind of exile, shaken and stirred. Now, I realize that a lot of the things that have come upon us are totally out of our control. But even in the midst of the crises, we are called to a faith that settles us in confidence in who God is and who he's made us to be. And that's our starting point today. The single most important step in being who God made us to be is always, always seeking after God. Always seeking after God. That's how we rekindle this desire. That's how we return to our first love, by seeking after God. The psalmist, he displays that desire. He wants more than anything else, God, simply God. He says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for the living God. C.S. Lewis, he describes the psalmist's craving as an appetite for God. I'm always talking about my physical condition, and you know, I decided that my blood pressure is a little high, so I better drop some weight. 10 pounds, they say, we'll do it. So I'm 5 down. I've learned what craving is and what hunger is, right? I'm hungry. Maybe you know that feeling, right? Well, that's that desire for God, that we talk about a physical hunger, but it's that desire to really just be in God's presence. I long, I pant. It's like this deer, not around here in Minnesota that, you know, there's all kinds of water for a deer to stop and drink. This is like a deer in the desert in Judea. It's walking along, you know, it's dry, there's dust. It's looking for a little crag, a little place where there might be a little bit of stream of water. You can just see him, his tongue's hanging out, dragging in the dirt. He can hardly move. He's like, oh, I'm thirsty. That's the water is life to this animal. The water, this is life to the psalmist, this being in the presence of God. So if you and I are going to be who God created us to be, then we start with that same desire in seeking after God. You know, it doesn't matter what else we do. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what church we're a part of. Apart from God, we cannot be who God created us to be. So it starts with seeking God. And the Bible gives us a good reason for this. In fact, a little encouragement here. The Apostle Paul in Hebrews, he says, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. A reward for seeking God. What is the reward? Well, in the shaking and the stirring of the experiences we're in, it is our soul finding rest in God. Peace. In Psalm 42, the NIV, the old version, it says, my soul finds rest in God alone. That's the only place where we're going to find that deep sense of calm. Could it be that when we are resting in God, we actually are being who God called us to be? You know, God wants us to know that peace in the turmoil. He wants us to have confidence in his presence and to know that even in the most difficult situations, we are not alone. So how do we nurture that kind of faith as we begin this new year? By remembering our first love, by going back to seeking that renewed, intimate relationship with God. That might mean allowing some things to be stripped away. Some things that we love. Stripped away because God loves us. God would allow it because he loves us. Things that may distract us from that deeper walk with God. Maybe it's time. It might mean understanding that God might be using suffering in our lives to refocus to our deepest desires. Again, the things that really matter. Because God loves us. It might be accepting that good things often come with an effort. And we might need to make an effort to seek God again. Well, here we are, brand new year. Most of us are still shaken and stirred from the past year, and we're looking ahead a little unsettled about what's going on. We want to reset. We want to seek Jesus. We want to rekindle that relationship. We want to renew our walk with the Lord. So what's the next step? Where do we go from here? So if you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus, not just a believer, but if you're pursuing after Jesus, the next step is this. Lead your soul. Lead your soul. With God's help, lead your soul. If we go back to the psalmist, he gives us the example. He says, "These things I remember, I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throngs." He remembers what he used to do, right? He remembers that joy, and it urges him into action. He says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me?" I think there's a valuable lesson right here in this verse. The psalmist is showing us that he's assessing his heart. He's taking account of his condition. Have you done that lately? Assessed your heart. How's your soul? What's going on right here? It's a great start. What's the condition of my soul today? We have to be honest with ourselves about it all. Don't just go through your days saying, "I'm fine, it doesn't matter, I'm fine." You know, it makes me think of Sally Fields in the movie Steel Magnolias. She's grieving at her daughter's graveside with her friends around, and they're trying to comfort her, and she says, "I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine." She's not fine. Maybe you're feeling like that today. I'm fine. But you're not. You know you're not. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Be who God made you to be. Open up. Seek him. It starts with that wholehearted seeking after God honestly. And that might require an effort on our part, an effort to lead our heart. You know, sometimes along with, for me, this losing some weight thing, along with that is exercise. I just hate exercise, right? I try to love it. I try to, you know, be happy about it. I try to think about all the good things it's doing for me. I hate it. I'd rather just go for a walk in the woods or something, you know, on a treadmill. Oh my gosh, how boring. I hate it. But I have to lead myself to get on it because I know it's going to benefit me. I know it's good. It actually makes me feel better when it's all done. I know that's coming. So I have to lead my attitude. I think that's the same with our spiritual walk. We have to lead our soul. We have to tell our soul where to go and what we're doing. Not just to wander. Isaiah says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." You know, there's an effort taking place here, but there's a payout. For everyone who asks, receive. The one who seeks, finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. You see, God can do amazing things when we ask. Just ask. Even if we don't realize what God's up to. Johnny Crasong, he shared this story about a missionary who shared while visiting his home church in Michigan. So he's a missionary in Africa, home to his church, sharing. And while he's speaking, he says, while serving at a small field hospital in Africa, every 2 weeks I traveled by bicycle through the jungle to a nearby city to get supplies. And this was a journey of 2 days, so it would require a camping overnight halfway through the journey. So on one of these journeys, I arrived in the city where I had planned to collect money from the bank and purchase medical supplies and then begin my 2-day journey back to the field hospital. And upon arriving in the city, I observed two men fighting, and one of them had been seriously injured, so I helped him and treated him and at the same time talked to him about Jesus as Lord. And I then traveled 2 days, camping overnight, and arrived home again without an incident. And 2 weeks later, repeated the same journey. Upon arriving in the city, I was approached by the young man that I had treated. He told me that he had known that I carried money and medical supplies. He said, some friends and I followed you into the jungle, knowing you would camp overnight. We planned to kill you and take your money and drugs. But just as we were about to move into your camp, we saw that you were surrounded by 26 armed guards. At this, he said, I laughed. I was certainly alone in the jungle at the campsite. And the young man, he pressed the point. He said, no, sir, I was not the only person who saw the guards. My 5 friends were also there. We all counted them. It was because of those guards that we were afraid, and we left you alone. So at this point, in sharing his message in his Michigan church, one of the members of the congregation jumped to his feet and he interrupted the missionary and he asked if he could tell him the exact day that this happened. And the missionary told the congregation the date. And the man who interrupted, he told this story. He said, on the night of your incident in Africa, it was morning here in Michigan and I was preparing to go play golf. I was about to putt when I felt the urge to pray for you. In fact, the urging from the Lord was so strong, I called men into the church to meet right here in the sanctuary and pray for you. And he said, I would like those men who came to the church that day to stand up right now, the men who were praying. And the men who had met and prayed stood up. And the missionary, he wasn't concerned about who they were because he was too busy counting the men he saw. There were 26 men. I share this story to help us realize, however you're feeling, shaken, stirred, just fine, I want you to know God has not abandoned you. You are not alone. As we enter into this new year, we recognize that God is right here, right now, with you, wherever you go. So the invitation is to draw near to God. God will certainly draw near to you. So I want to invite you to consider where you are today. Are you like that deer panting for the life-giving water? Do you want the Lord to be your soul's deepest desire as you move forward into the new year? Are you ready this year to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus, no matter what comes? If your answer is yes to any of these, I invite you to make this a new beginning of being who God made you to be. So make this day a day of renewal, a day of recommitment. Mark it as the day I renewed my life to follow Jesus above everything else. It begins by seeking him. So let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you are with us right now, that you have been with us throughout all of this turmoil. And Lord, thank you that now as we step forward, that the invitation that you're calling us to come back to our first love, Lord, to renew our commitment to follow you. And I pray, Jesus, for everyone today, anyone here today or online who is sensing that need to say, yes, Jesus, I want to seek you with all my heart, Lord, that you will reveal yourself to them. As we pray, Jesus, take my heart, take my soul, forgive me and cleanse me, set me on a new path. Lord, you are the deep desire of my heart. I long for you. Lord, as we pray that you would fill us new and fresh with your Holy Spirit, that we would walk out of this place today changed and renewed and confident in your love for us and your presence with us. Lord, to know that you've got this and we truly can be all you made us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.